pass me a pumptini because justice has been served.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've always watched Vanderpump Rules.
I love to gossip, so let's kiki about it.
Oh, classic.
I may have given up white nails because of Scandoval, but you'll have to pry my sexy time t-shirt out of my cold, dead hands.
Oh my God. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. Listen, I am so excited. I put out a Hail Mary to three of my favorite content creators, human people, and Bravoholics. And I said, the Scandoval is sort of done, aside from secrets revealed. But I feel like several secrets have been revealed over the course of the reunion finale. So I think we have to get into it, discuss, break it down, and get everyone's thoughts. Healing together. Healing in America is the theme of this ep. So let me introduce these sassy hashtag writer girls, hashtag women supporting women, hashtag Bethany, whatever, girl boss, bullshit, etc. Let's get to it. You know her through her mission statement, which says it all. If Dateline and SportsCenter had a Bravo baby, welcome back to AG Bravo, Bravo, ducking Bravo.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Oh my gosh. You know this person as professional talker, social media journalist, CEO of Deep Dives, and of course, the talk of shame. Welcome back to the People's Couch, Kiki Monique. Let's have a kiki.
Oh, let's kiki about it for sure.
I'm so excited to see once again the internet's go-to legal analyst and host of the Emily Show podcast, where she gives a fresh take on legal commentary in the news and pop culture stories you want to talk about. Emily D. Baker, welcome back to Andy's Girls.
I'm thrilled to be here. I just wish I was climbing into the clawfish with you so we could like all just have a group hug and a Pinot Grigio, but I love it. I'm here for it. I'm so excited to talk to all of you about this. It's just...
I feel like there's a lot of processing that's still taking place inside the Bravo community and honestly in the greater world of pop culture. So I need to start with your thoughts on part three of the reunion. Did you feel that after all the hype, the reunion delivered in whatever way you feel, you know, mazel tov or possible critique? Kiki, can we start with you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is one of the greatest reunions we've ever seen, especially from Vanderpump Rules. Like the early days of Vanderpump Rules, those reunions were like stellar and sort of we lost a little bit of, you know, pizzazz, whatever it was, over the last like season or two. And so, yes, it was giving everything it needed to give. I think obviously accounts like us who kind of know everything and we're always trying to get answers way ahead of time, I think we knew what was to come, but it didn't change the way it was delivered.
And yet there is a feeling amongst many members of the Bravo community that they felt like maybe because of all of the hype that it somehow didn't deliver this huge sort of climate changing reveal at the end or maybe throughout the episode. Emily, did you feel that you still kind of had that vibe, or do you agree that in some way, in any way, it felt like a letdown?
I think they oversold the reveal, and I want to bring a class action lawsuit for the waste of my time. The way that my brain was occupied by what is going to take place in the last 5 minutes. And I'm like, if it is just a timeline that this affair started earlier, like we know that this affair started earlier. Everyone believes in their soul this affair started earlier than they said. We know Tom was coaching Raquel and they were getting their story straight. So when that's kind of the reveal, I'm like, really? That's the last 5 minutes. The cast can't sign contracts. This is going to change everything. And it kind of overshadowed it because the rest of the reunion absolutely was incredible. We got to see Ariana for the first time confront Raquel. We got to see Raquel trying to show emotion at some point. It was a great reunion, but then you get to this oversold reveal that wasn't. And that part was a letdown for me. The rest of it was so good. I might pretend the last 5 minutes didn't happen, though the throuple reveal was kind of entertaining. I was entertained.
wait a second. You're pretending that the, because the last 5 minutes to me was like so essential to understanding line by line, like dead on proof through Raquel that everything Tom had constructed to say, to manipulate over the course of the reunion was a complete active fabrication.
But didn't you think that going in?
We knew that. Yeah, we knew that.
Yeah. BBDB, tell me more.
I'm just saying, like, that's not a surprise to me that, you know, Tom has been pulling the strings and coaching her to say, thou doth protest too much. How many times did he say, but one time, it was only one time. We only slept together one time. The more he said, I need to go back and count. I think it was at least 10. You don't push something that hard.
Yeah.
Unless it's not true. And look at, we got a former prosecutor here. Like, absolutely. Like, these are just, to me, that he's up there flop sweating. He's just pushing stuff. You know, she looks like she's a deer in headlights and like she's measuring and checking everything she's saying and almost reading off a script. That wasn't a shock to me at all.
She was reading off a Tom script, wasn't she?
Yeah.
He was so desperate to get to the trailer in the first half. And he was so unaware that she was watching the whole time. And it was like, what, did you really think that she wouldn't see this whole thing go down? And it just like, and that's why he had that whole meltdown in, you know, the earlier reunions, because he wanted to make sure when she got on that stage, she said the things that he wanted her to say.
How do you think he's going to respond to this, if at all? He's continuing his tour, which is fucking nuts. How does he find a way out of this? Or is this just the hole he's going to remain in for a big, long while?
I think he still thinks he's a victim because everyone else is always covered for him. And now Raquel's not covering for him. And he saw her like lay it out. I mean, I'm sure she knows that they're not speaking anymore. And this is the end of that because everybody has carried on his stories for so much longer. And I think that was the biggest reveal to me in all of the parts of this reunion is how much Ariana had been carrying for him. The Miami girl and the rest of it, it's like, girl, you, when you talk about riding or dying for this man, you were keeping his secrets to the grave and he turned on you. And the second it got a little hard, Raquel immediately spun back around and was like, okay, fine. Let me tell you everything. I'm not caring for this man. Ariana did it for 9 years. That was the part that I was like, wow, wow. So I think Tom feels like a victim.
And the most interesting part of that to me was like he was trying to turn it on her. We saw so much active manipulation directly, like loud and clear as day. You were the one who was coaching me to do things. You were the one who wasn't presenting that we were being honest about our relationship. He was trying his best to actively insert the narrative so that she first off couldn't start with that and then was in a position like offense, defense, where she had to respond instead of essentially discussing, if that makes any sense, which I thought was an interesting kind of strategy. One of Tom's many love languages that he utilized over the course of the reunion, which was fascinating and horrifying all at once. Kiki, question for you. You were at the LA watch party. I was at the New York watch party. What was the vibe? Did you have any interactions with the cast? Who was there and did they stay to watch?
Yeah, I mean, it was James and Allie and Katie. I think Peter was working. And, you know, it was very much a like party atmosphere. You know, they had broken down like each of the rooms into like, you know, because there were invites, but then there were also tickets sold. And so, and then I think they had like kind of press rooms. So they had broken down kind of each section and there were like kind of tables with TVs in front of them. So everyone sort of had their own individual TVs. So that was like really cool. And James and Allie came in and James was ready to party. He had his microphone going through the whole place and was taking pictures with everyone. And he was like super just like really friendly and nice and doing his taglines to people. Allie was, you know, looking, she's gorgeous in person. Like she's gorgeous. And Katie was really, she was Katie. She was like walking through, but very reserved and, you know, just doing her own thing. And then, yeah, I mean, everyone was into it and, you know, we were drinking pumptinis and just like, it was the ticket of the year, I would say.
But were there goat cheese balls?
There were. There were goat cheese balls. And so we had those for our amuse-bouche. We had a little gem salad. We had the little famous spicy rigatoni. Yeah. Sorry, my cat is deciding to make my life hell, even though she was asleep the rest of the day.
She's a friend of. No, we welcome all women on today's episode. In the words of Andy Cohen, he had some thoughts about how the women of America were going to respond to this episode in certain points. So she is more than welcome. That actually sort of brings up the quote that became viral in the hours leading up to the episode when Andy essentially said there is a moment during, you know, tonight's episode where Tom says something that is going to upset every woman in America. I assumed that moment was when Tom referenced and sort of mocked Ariana wearing a t-shirt while they were having sex, which was a wild moment of the night. Do you agree? Do you think that's what it is? And what was your reaction to that?
I think that was the moment Andy meant. And there's a couple levels to it. The thing that made me the most angry is it felt like Tom was losing ground and went for a really low blow specifically to Ariana to try to blame her. Like, oh, you were wearing a t-shirt. It's not sexy. The reason I stepped out on you is because you're not enough. Like, he's continuing to dig at her. And she is a beautiful woman, but she's been really open about her struggles with her body. And it's something so many can relate to. And she's been open and vulnerable about that. And so for him to take that opportunity to dig at her in that way was like next level disgusting. It was next level disgusting because he has nothing left to throw at her, which was also interesting to see. Like, he's out of shots to take at her. Every commercial last night was her. My husband was like, wait, is she in all the commercials? I'm like, she's in all of the commercials. And here's one for Duracell batteries that she's going to put in her battery operated boyfriend. And she's going to be living her best life. She's like, Tom, who? We don't need this at all. My shirt doesn't give a shit. She's selling merch. Like, I love seeing how she's bounced from that. But I think everyone has had that moment where someone they cared about has tried to take low blows like that. And so it hits everybody. And so it was, and it just unmasks Tom in case we had any questions left.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he was so, you could tell the entire reunion what was actually getting at him because he's such a narcissist was she had everything. She had all the friends, she had all of the compassion. And when she said to him, you don't have a relationship with Sheena, that is done, it struck him in a way. And that was when he started going in about like, well, Sheena did punch, and he started attacking because he doesn't like that he has no control over the situation. He doesn't have friends. He doesn't have relationships. He thought he could manipulate his way back into these people's lives because that is the only way he has known how to function for years. And he is operating so outside of himself. That's why when we see these TikToks of him, you know, he's on tour around the US. You know, we just saw one today. He was in the airport at Chicago. They had to call his name twice, and he was disheveled and picking up his bags and trying to get through because he does not know how to operate right now because he's been so used to control. And now we have Schwartz that just went on to say that he hasn't talked to Sandoval either. So the one person he had in his life that he had a little bit of control left is gone. And so he is lost.
That's such a good point. I really didn't connect the you know, the moment when she was like, Sheena's not yours, that was like the final blow that started unraveling him. Because when you go back and look at this season, you can see how he was setting this up. If Ariana hadn't found that video, this whole season would have been like, oh, well, the relationship was loveless and they're basically roommates and oh, poor Tom. And, you know, Raquel was just there to love him and support him and pick up his poor little ego. And Ariana is just she's just such a bad woman. She's not taking care of her man. He was setting that up this whole season and it blew the fuck up in his face. Thank God.
And that's why I love the t-shirt moment, because that's a true colors moment. Mm-hmm. So the mask slipped for a second. So he's trying to be emotional. He's trying to, you know, woe is me. And you're the person I've loved most in my whole life. It's like, that's horrifying. If that's how you treat the person you've loved most in your whole life, No. And then, you know, when they go back and they have their little quiet moment, Rachel and Tom, and they're laughing. They were like villains in a Disney movie. They're giggling and stuff. I was like, that's who you really are. We can see it. You're trying to push all this other stuff. And I haven't even watched the Peacock version yet, but someone said that Lisa pulls him aside and tells him that he needs to be more emotional. And so that's why he started working up the tears.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that was a revealed scene. But so she fucking puts her tushy into his goddamn dressing room. And she's like, you know what I think we need for you to be able to move forward in this group is to say I'm sorry. Now, the fact that she even has to fucking say that at 14 hours in or whatever, probably six, I don't even know, after weeks of this, the fact that you have to remind this person to apologize to the group when he still hasn't to Ariana is a wild moment. But that absolutely, if the timing of the edit is literal, that is what absolutely pushed him into sitting back in the chair and being like, oh my God, I need a conversation. And I just hope you find whatever he said, like, I'll be 10 steps behind you praying for your life. Like, it was because LVP was like, produce yourself. And he said, yes, ma'am.
Remember, you're supposed to be contrite. You're supposed to feel bad. Where's the feeling bad?
Yeah, where is it? But the craziest part of that whole scene is like, he says that t-shirt line. Everybody is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And the only person he apologizes to is Schwartz.
Yes.
Yes. He's putting his hand on Schwartz.
And I'm like, this is exactly like who you are. That was a face mask slipping moment. And the IUD to Lala was a face slipping. Like this is who Tom always was. It was that little person under the tongue that was saying these things. And look, I think a lot of them probably had this at different times, right? It's just that like, we did not see this, I think, side of him in this way. And it's coming out in the most disgusting ways, but it's being directed at the one person who has had his back fucking for 9 years and more.
And the reason he wasn't the bad guy with Kristen Doty is because Kristen kind of matched energy with him and was like, fine, I will expose you. And Ariana covered and helped cover, because that Miami girl moment would have exposed it, and it didn't. Instead, it made Kristen look like she was grasping and desperate and couldn't let go of this relationship. And instead, she's like, he's gaslighting all of you. What the fuck? And now 9 years later, we're seeing what we all think maybe played on beyond the scenes or behind the scenes with Kristen. Right. We're seeing that. But Ariana is not clapping back in the same way Kristen did. And it's why this is playing out differently. And I don't think Tom understands why this is playing out differently than it played out before. I think he's actually confused.
How would you explain that to him if he was like, I don't get it?
I don't know if I could. Lady, I would love to hear that. How would you explain it to him?
I would just be like, okay, so here's the thing. Like, you know, at the end of A Sixth Sense, when he realizes he was dead, it's like that, but you're the bad guy. You're the bad guy here.
Oh, God.
It's like, sir, you're 40. It's not cute. This woman had your back in everything, and you stepped out with her best friend and then tried to insult her body on TV.
And that was like another interesting moment, because I don't think. Well, this was actually in the Peacock version, but I watched the Peacock version last night. That's why it's confusing. So I actually don't know what version people saw on TV, because I haven't watched
the Peacock version yet.
I've only seen Peacock.
I have not.
Lala, you know, says to Ariana, you know, there was clearly an emotional affair that Raquel and Sandoval were having this whole time. If he had come to you before anything physical happened and said, you know, I'm having these feelings, like, would you have, you know, felt the same way or reacted the same way? She's like, I would have given him two choices. Like, one, you know, we're done and over, or you can never see her again. But like, could I have gotten over it? Maybe. But either way, it's still like, why are you going for friends? And, you know, it's just an interesting, like, he just, again, thought he was going to like have it happen his way and just didn't see it playing out like this.
And the unfortunate complication, the challenge of even posing that to Ariana, is to suggest that Tom would think he has to choose. Like, it's to suggest that Tom thought, that this would be a conversation that would involve honesty with his partner. It was never going to be that. His focus was on coloring and characterizing this woman who he loves, and she's so great, and she'll be great with somebody someday, but she's not great for me now. She's not completing me, in the words of Jerry Maguire. She's not pleasuring me in the ways that I deserve, and this other person is. Like, I don't know how much of this is Tom thinking he could do this forever, and Tom just assuming it would always work out because it always, as you said before, Emily, because it always did before.
I wonder if he saw or started to see their relationship as a brand, because he talked about it with Tom Schwartz too. Like, their friendship wasn't a friendship, it was a brand. And we see this with online personalities. You see this in like the YouTuber content houses of days gone by and the TikTok content houses, where some people think the relationships are real and some people think the relationships are content, and it doesn't work well. It always ends disastrously. And I'm seeing him on the Howie Mandel podcast explaining these things as if they're brand transactions, as if this is not his real life. Like, oh no, Ariana and I are a brand. It's Ariana and Tom, and we have a book and we have a house, and this is how we play on TV. But in real life, I also want to have a side piece in this other stuff that's my life, where Ariana's like, this is my partner, this is my life, and we happen to be on TV. And I think there's a big disconnect there.
See, but now I would buy that from him if he wasn't trying to fertilize her eggs. You know what I mean?
And I don't know if he really wanted to. It seemed like he kept putting it off. And then when they were filming, he was like, oh shit, I guess I got to do this. I don't know if he really wanted to.
I think towards the end, he didn't want to. I do think in the beginning, he probably, like, this is something he was probably excited that she was willing to do, because it seemed like so, like, something she wasn't interested in. But then once the emotional affair started, I think he was kind of out of it and was making excuses, and there's why he was drinking more, why he was shrooming every day. You know, he was never going to give up weed, because 5 days, I mean, he couldn't give it up for 5 days just to, like, get his sperm tested. So he was absolutely out of it at that point. And you're right. I mean, I think that he saw this as a brand. I mean, look, we've all lived in New York and LA, people stay in relationships for decades because the rent's so damn high.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Imagine, you know, if you're making six figures as a, you know, a couple and doing these things. Yeah. But he played it in a way, honestly, that just felt so unfair, because once you're buying houses, once you're letting her freeze her eggs, It's a whole different ballgame. This isn't like a relationship that we can talk about in a contract. And I'll be honest, here's the thing about the throuple. I too was very, like, interested that, like, Raquel had gone there, because I have always believed this whole time, the way it's playing out, is that Raquel wanted to be Ariana. It just felt like she wanted to live in her shoes, and that she was playing out this fantasy of being Ariana. And honestly, I think if she had tried to seduce Ariana before Tom had tried to seduce her, this actually might have played out a different way. Who knows? I don't know, because could I have seen a throuple? Possibly. But, like, you need the permission of the woman in that relation, in that instance. I'm sorry. That's just the rules. I don't make them.
I don't think Tom Zigo could handle that, though.
He couldn't. That's the thing. But, like,
I think the ladies could have been fine together.
Exactly. I think they could have been a great couple.
I think it would have been, no, I don't think so. I think it would have, like, been for a week or something. But that's not, to me, from my opinion, looking at Rachel, I don't think she actually did want a throuple. I think she wants to win. Okay. I think she wants to be better than Ariana. She wants to be the pick me, you know, I'm in competition.
The pageant side is coming out.
Yeah. And I think somebody had up there, like, all the outfits that she's copied over the years. And it's kind of alarming. Kind of alarming.
That she's copied of Ariana?
Of Lala a couple of times. Oh. Ariana, like, and I get it. You get inspired, you know, by the people that you hang around or whatever, but it's almost...
It's giving Hailey Bieber and Selena Gomez a bit.
That's exactly the vibe. Okay. Yes. That's it.
And I think Rachel told us this in the car when she was basically like, I don't know what my personality is. Like, I don't know who I am. Like, it feels like she's grabbing at everybody else, trying to be like, if I do this, will you like me? And if I do this, will you like me? And it would be really tragic if she wasn't so damaging to everyone around her.
Yeah. And when it comes to the whole throuple idea, you know, we know that, for example, Ariana and Lala once hooked up and it was in Tom's presence, had her consent. It was not a cheating thing or anything else associated with that, regardless of how some people are trying to use it to shame Ariana for currently feeling sad, which is definitely a look. But it, to me, gets into the idea of intimacy, like intimacy and boundaries around that, because Ariana made clear at the reunion, or rather even Tom made clear during that initial conversation, that that kind of situation wasn't going to work out. And for Ariana, what was so hurtful about the idea of an emotional affair versus a physical affair and everything else was that it was a crossing of boundaries, including and especially in the ways she looks at emotional intimacy with her friends. Like, she never seemingly looked at Raquel with any kind of interest, flirtation, anything of the sort. She never would have thought about it just because she is, I think it's sometimes like a crossing of wires when we talk about someone who is bisexual. Like, there's sometimes even an assumption that there could be a potential reality here because she has had relationships with both men and women in the past. But to me, I'm like, she had no interest in it. She made clear Tom knew enough, either for his own selfish reasons and or because he knew that she wasn't into it. And yet, Raquel, while saying later on she's interested in having a throuple, is also turning to Ariana in the group and saying during the reunion, oh, I wasn't, I didn't reveal a lot to Ariana. I didn't share intimacies with Ariana. I wanted to share them with Tom. And I was like, what the fuck?
Like, she tried to say we're not friends like that.
We're not, but you want to have a relationship with this, but you want to be in a throuple with her potentially, but you don't feel comfortable sharing. See, I mean, we all talk about Raquel sometimes seeming like a little bit of a vessel, like not a fully formed person. She's working through some stuff. Obviously, there is, you know, a sort of a look that she had throughout the reunion and over the course of all of this fallout of either stealing herself or just not being present. And it was interesting to me to see her sort of assign the idea of vesseldom, let's pretend that's a thing, to Ariana, for example, that like, oh yeah, I would have a relationship with this person who I also apparently don't feel comfortable enough with to share secret. I mean, like, make it make sense.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Because then it's like, are you just throwing that out there to save yourself and make it look like you thought it would work out? But can I ask you ladies a timing question?
Of course, please.
We were talking about fertilizing eggs. And if I'm remembering accurately, the two Toms went to the doctor together because Ariana had traveled for the funeral. So was he at the doctor's office that day and then sleeping with Raquel that night? Because she said in her tearful last few minutes, I was so bad because she's out of town for a funeral. Well, that's when he went to the doctor to give the sperm sample when, you know, she was out of town for the funeral.
Yikes.
I didn't think about that, but
yikes.
That's just awful.
Because he brought the sperm sample with him to the doctor already.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying.
I'm so
glad. She was around at the house with him during that period of time.
Oh, my God.
How involved was she in this process? And what was her thought and comment to him? Like, don't do it? Or like, oh, no, this will be great. I'll be the side piece. You go fertilize the egg. Like, what is happening?
All we know is she was obviously his spank bank material to get that jizz out, which is why I'm glad it left it in the cup where it is, not tainting Ariana's eggs.
I don't feel good.
Sorry. The lawyer brain is like, okay, make the timeline, like throw in everything in the timeline. And it's hard to know with editing, but it stood out to me because his friend Tom was there with him. And I'm like, this is something you do with your partner. And it's like, oh, well, she's at the funeral. I need my support. Well, he couldn't bring Rachel, could he?
I just assumed that the other Tom did it, but I was just.
Oh God.
We can't go down this path. We just can't do it. Dinner will be served SUR at a certain point, and it's not going to be thinking about this.
What won't Schwartz do for him, though?
Apparently they're not talking. Was that on Jax's podcast, Kiki?
Yeah. Kiki, what was your, the Schwartz-Jax-Brittany dynamic was fascinating, but so too, I thought was, a lot of what he had to say. What was your reaction to that, and also reaction to him over the course of the reunion, specific to Schwartz?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to listen to the whole podcast. I just listened to the sound bites that obviously went viral. And I just think that Schwartz has been so used to allowing Sandoval guide him in so many ways. And I think that even comes down to business decisions. Like, my understanding is that, like, even the PR people, Schwartz doesn't have his own. So he just, like, kind of uses Sandoval's. And so it's like this advice he's getting on, like, how to, like, navigate this, he's just let, you know, go. Now, he had a lot of explanations. He said Schwartz said his dad had a fall. He was, like, you know, very ill. His brother was dealing with testicular cancer. He had a lot of family issues. Plus, he's going through a divorce. I do think he was not thinking about Sandoval and his, like, banging Raquel. He was just like, oh, that guy's an idiot, and, like, I just want to move on, and, like, I do believe he didn't think it had become, like, the full-blown affair that had become. I think he thought, like, oh, he banged her, and, like, what an idiot, and, like, maybe banged her a couple more times, and, like, God, let him get it out of the system, but, like, I can't deal with that. I have my own things to deal with. But was still covering him for him in that normal way they have always done all of these years. And he just didn't stop to think, like, wait, the stakes are much higher. This is a different situation than me covering for my friend who banged a cocktail waitress in Vegas. This is Ariana and Raquel. He just didn't stop to think. And I think that Schwartz is going to have a lot of growing. I'm so happy to see he's doing, you know, it sounds weird, doing reality shows on his own and going out on his own. Because, look, I think he's, like, still 21 in his head. And I think he's going to have, like, a huge, like, 10 to 15 year growth over this, like, summer. And why I'm so interested in season 11 of Vanderpump. Look, I don't think any of the cast is going to film with Sandoval. And I don't even know if Raquel is coming back. I'll be honest. I don't know if she'll come back, but I will be very interested to watch the Schwartz and Sandoval dynamic. How does their friendship navigate this whole thing? I think it's going to change a lot. And I'm interested to see that on film.
I am too, because when we saw Ariana sit down with him and he was like, literally, like, this is what Sandoval did to me, and this is what's happening to our business. She's like, yeah, this is exactly what he did to you. This is what he did to your business. This is what he did to your employees. What did you think was going to happen? And it seemed like Schwartz hadn't even considered any of it. At all, hadn't considered what would happen to Schwartz and Sandy's. And then when, you know, he's like, oh, I'm not going to kick him when he's down, it's like, no, he dragged you into this and he's continuing to drag you down. So if you don't separate yourself, it's too late. And Katie told him and he wouldn't listen. And maybe now he will. And that's, if Jax is coming back, it makes sense that he's on Jax's podcast trying to reestablish who he's going to be able to film with. And, you know, when cameras go up in a couple weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, and the thing with Schwartz and learning that I found so interesting is while he seemed to be establishing, exactly as Kiki said, like a separation between him and Tom, and he sounded upset, which is almost a revelation. Like, he sounded comfortable allowing himself to be mad and to also acknowledge that Tom Sandoval has not yet repented, that he's, like, still carrying his ego as an extra plus one. Which was, to me, surprising. But what wasn't surprising was when, you know, Jax and Brittany or whomever were asking about his relationship with Katie and relationship with Ariana. And he's like, you know, like, I haven't, you know, been to dinners with Katie, but we love each other. And, you know, it's good. And Ariana, I'm giving her space, but it's good. The way he said to ask Ariana during the reunion, the world has rallied around you. How does it feel? And I wonder at a certain point if he understands that, like, the engaging spirit is only going to be allowed at the reunion because Andy's there and it's like a question to the group, but no one is going to allow him to speak. Like, it's not, I don't even know how speech will work for Schwartz next season. Like, I genuinely don't, because who is going to be around if he is prepared to talk about his growth? Who is going to give a fuck about listening?
Yeah.
Maybe Jax.
Yeah, maybe Jax. I mean, what do you guys think about, I guess the two question marks here are whether or not Jax, aka Jackson, Brittany, and Kristen will return to the show. Is that something that you would be interested in seeing?
I didn't see a space for Jax and Brittany. And I have said, Jax to me is reality TV gold. I love watching him. I'll go on his lives. I really do. But I said, I didn't understand how he would work. You make a good point though. Like who would be there for Schwartz? I do think that's an interesting point. That is kind of the only way I think there could be even a gateway to even Sandoval filming, only because Jax would be willing to go into a room with him just to tear him down. He would be willing to do that. Kristen has said she's not interested in returning. And I say, like, I don't think there's a space for that either. I think that we got what we needed for that ending scene with her and Ariana, and we kind of could come full circle. She gets her sort of like, hey, you guys, I was right and you guys didn't listen to me. And she had that moment. And I think that we can move on from that. I think at this point, I don't know if we need a return in that way. Little here and there, like events, maybe, you know, sure.
She can be at the opening of Something About Her.
Exactly.
But that's what I want to follow. I want to follow that journey of Something About Her and maybe Schwartz's journey at Schwartz and Sandy's. And maybe you see some people coming in from Schwartz and Sandy's and you see Schwartz trying to navigate the fact that Sandoval bounced on them multiple times. Like things got hard at that business. And if Schwartz is willing to open up and be like, he left us when it was hard, he left us with this affair, like, he has been a terrible business partner. If we're ready to see Schwartz like pick up the pieces and try to be an adult and run a business, I would be here to watch that happen. Who's going to talk to him about it? Maybe the people that work at Schwartz and Sandy's, because I don't think Katie has time for it. And I don't think she should have to. I don't think it's on her. She's tried with him so many times. I don't think it's on her. I think we get to watch her open her sandwich shop.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Erin and your life and mine. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. and you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon.
How do you, though, repent? How do you, like, work through the process of trying to step away from a friendship with Sandoval if you're Schwartz when his name is on the door at both of your bars/restaurants? Like, how do you do that? Are we just supposed to assume that that is potentially taking place when his name is on the goddamn door?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's like the weirdest
part. But I kind of want to watch him try to figure it out.
100%. I want to watch every minute of it.
I don't know if
it.
There's a right answer, which might make really good reality TV because there's no right answer. And maybe James Kennedy picks up that role too and is like, I told you. Like, we've seen James willing to step up. James is willing to step up to make good TV no matter what. Yeah. Do you need me to cry because I'm getting fired again? I'll cry. You need me to call people names? I'll call people names. You want me to surreptitiously call Rachel on the phone and yell at her like it's junior high school, you know, three-way call attack? We'll do that. Like, he's here for it. He would probably also be like, but Schwartz, you know you're a fucking idiot, right? He would have those conversations with him, I think, and start DJing at Fortune's Andy's if they asked him to. I bet he would. He's like, right, let's see you next Tuesday over here.
BBDB, what do you think?
I mean, the one thing that I have learned about myself from really catching up on VPR is that I can't stand Schwartz. So I don't want to see him. I don't want to hear from him because to me, it's worse to be the enabler And the person who, like, he went out there and, like, he made out with Rachel. I watched it. I had to watch it in slow-mo a couple of times as I was trying to get through it. My DVR would freeze. He put tongue in there. That wasn't just a smooch. He went whole hog. And he knew
while
what he was
doing. While
she's
going back upstairs to sleep.
Yeah, while she's fucking Sandoval, which we need to focus on for just a minute.
At the same time.
People talking about the last 5 minutes didn't deliver. Babe, when you start going over in your head what, how all of this tracks, I'm sorry. I was getting, not in the way that they were, but I was 100% getting some sort of high from the connecting of the dots there.
Rachel got her thruple. She just got the other thruple. You know what I'm saying? Like, she just pivoted.
It was timed out. It was timed, like how you, you know, at a lovely dinner, it was coursed. The thruple was coursed. Yeah, with the toss.
And did you hear on Jeff Lewis today? I can't remember the name of the poll and
Patrick and Paul.
Yeah. They were saying that Raquel kicked her roommate out to bang Sandoval. I didn't even realize she had a roommate.
Sheena talked about this. Sheena said on her podcast too that another friend was staying with Raquel, and Raquel was like, production said you can't stay here. And the friend was like, I'll put all my stuff in the closet. You won't even know. I'll just be here to sleep. Sheena went over it on her podcast, and I was like, and she's like, no, production says. So Sheena had said, I think they were together then. A couple weeks ago with the friend was supposed to stay there. And then she was like, oh, blame it on production. And then literally forcefully booted the friend out of the room and was like, I have to stay by myself, because nobody ever stays by themselves on these cast trips. They're always doubled up in the rooms. And all of a sudden, Rachel can't be doubled up in the room. And now we all know why. So it's why we kind of suspected that's what was happening.
Yeah, and the extra shitty part of that is this friend, Jenny, who I think came into the group through Raquel, possibly through the pageant world, I forget, but asked Raquel, because she has been around the group during filming, and because it's her now husband couldn't attend, I forget if they were married at that point or engaged, Raquel then attended her wedding or had attended her wedding prior, like close friends, and she said to Raquel, make sure to clear this with production. I understand how filming works. Make sure they're aware. I think Jenny also paid for the room. And I am that kind of fucker where I'm like, do not cost me a penny when you fuck with me. So you're just screwing with me twice. Like, why don't you get your, here's the thing. Why don't you get your own fucking room? There's always someone who has to be sacrificed so that Sandoval and Raquel can fuck. And that annoys me. Like, be charitable with your affair. Yeah. Do one thing to go out of your way so that someone else doesn't have to deal with the aftermath without actually knowing about it.
Yeah, like... That reminded me, you know who else I met at the party last night?
Oh my God, Kiki, tell me literally everything.
The woman who sold Raquel the lightning bolt necklace in the store.
All of the worlds coming together. That $800 piece of history.
Yes.
That was actually an interesting moment too.
She said she actually bought like a few necklaces that day, but yeah, she sold her that lightning bolt $780 necklace.
Honestly, as Emily said, I was actually like shocked by the reveal that it really truly was to have a connection with Tom. I sort of thought that was something we all kind of saw. Oh my God, and she has a lightning necklace, and then oh my God, she's buying the lightning bolt on camera. I kind of still thought we were projecting a little bit onto that. So when she was like, no, I literally did that. So when I look in the mirror and also wear this around other people, I can remind myself that I'm fucking Tom. I mean, I was shocked.
It's diabolical to be like, it's in your face. And I think there's times when we see her and Tom laughing. I think she loved that she was causing everyone else to have such big feelings. Like, look at Sheena. It's like, oh, should I have written her a note? Like, she was loving that Sheena was so upset over the breakdown of their friendship. It really seems she genuinely was thrilled with the power that she wielded over people to cause such distress.
So this is where I get a little confused or have a little bit of a counter, because I don't know. I thought in the moment she was making a joke, and I was like, oh my God, that is one of the worst things that I heard during that episode when Sheena's incredibly upset talking about the impact and damage and trauma of like figuring out the court stuff, how it's going to affect her job, it affecting her child because she had a breakdown in front of her daughter who then started, as Lala later said, hyperventilating. Like, that's not a joke. She wasn't eating, wasn't sleeping, everything else. And Raquel being like, maybe I should write her a card. I thought at first that she was joking and being a dick. And then I was talking to somebody, it might have been BBDB, I forget who it was, but the response was like, no, I think she was being literal. I think that there was a way she was processing it without really understanding what the fuck is going on, where she was maybe being a smartass, but also being like, I guess this is another person to apologize to. Like, I don't know how sarcasm, I don't know whether or not sarcasm exists when it comes to Raquel. Sometimes she might perform it, but I think some of this was like, genuinely almost
was shocked
thinking
about
it out loud. Not even shocked, just like, I guess I should write her a card. Not entirely that. I think there was a little bit of a potentially a mix of a lot of stuff, but that's a part of it. I was like, did you not think about this at any point? Like, of course this would have an effect on another person.
I think that, yeah, I think that's why people are so, it's her disconnect from emotions that is making people become armchair doctors, because they're like, you know, we've obviously watched enough documentaries and all of these things to be like, you know, these are signs of this and this and this. And it's like, I'm not going to diagnose anyone. What I do know is she was a pageant girl and I can judge her on those things. And that's really all I can judge her on, that. And the fact that, you know, I've dealt with petty, bitchy, cunty women in my life. So it's like those two things are what I know exist. And that's how I can judge her. Everything else, well, she's going to have to come out. And that's another reason I want to watch Civil at least season 11. I would like her to come back. I want to know like what her treatment was for. I would like her to share some of this because I do have empathy for her. I think she did horrible, disgusting things. And if I were Ariana, I would say the same thing. I would make it final. You, this is forever. We will never, I do not ever forgive you. And I get that. But as someone who just can watch this and see that she was manipulated by a terrible man, I want to understand, like, if she actually realizes like what happened to her and like what she has learned and what she, how she has grown, because it's a, this is the hardest, one of the hardest things, life lessons she's ever going to have. She has lost every single person in her life, including Tom, because let's be real, he's not going to be around. You've lost every single person in your life and you have to rebuild. And how are you going to rebuild?
And potentially your job.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone and your job.
Mm-hmm.
And seemingly the only job she has had, because I don't think they really work at Sir.
No.
Maybe I'm late to that.
And even finding out that James was paying for everything was like a shocker, because it was like, yeah. So wow, you really have just been like being taken care of this entire time. You have no idea how to survive in this world.
Oh my God. Yeah. And the thing with Raquel that I find so interesting, aside from the fact that I'm still in complete shock that it was Raquel, I still haven't fully processed that the person he was having an affair with was fucking Raquel. Like, fucking not as a verb, but a descriptor. Like, it's just shocking to me. And yet, I don't know who else it could have been. Like, I think there was such a benefit to both of them that she was on the show, that they were all good friends. It worked out in both of their favor. And the thing with Raquel is not similar to Schwartz, but like when it comes to working through what exactly has taken place, if she even has capacity for that, which is completely TBD, is the fact that like, if I was just a person outside of the show or wherever else, her friend Jenny, for example, with like the Mexico trip or whatever else happens in the future, I could never trust her with anything again, which is not to punish her for the rest of her life. She is 28 years old, but also she is 28 years old. And there were power dynamics at play, as you said. I think fame and that kind of like celebrity was probably more of an influence and a power dynamic and experience with Tom versus age. But with Raquel, Tom is like a piece of shit. He's garbage. He is an asshole. He is the worst kind of guy, using all of the most delicate things to throw in Ariana's face for making the mistake of choosing him 9 years ago. But with Raquel, I'm like, as a woman, I could never trust her with anything, not just because of her record, but because I don't think she understands how this could work in the future. Like, I don't know that she understands how to make a good decision, let alone be someone deserving of trust.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts on Raquel are, yes, yes, absolutely. You know, she's in her late 20s and a man, I guess, at 40, 41, I don't even know, it doesn't matter. Mentally, I don't think he's there. And that's his journey that he needs to go on. I don't know that she will ever grow the way that she needs to by staying on the show, because I think that brings out the worst in her, which is acting however she thinks that people want to see, saying what she thinks people want to see, thinking about how can I get ahead? What do I need to do to be like the number one gal in this group, kind of a thing. So it depends. I mean, if mess is the answer, then she'll give that. But especially because she has had a life where she went from, you know, college to trying to do some pageants to dating James. I think they were together for like 5 years. He took care of things. He paid for things, apparently. She really does need to stand on her own 2 feet. I think that's the biggest takeaway a lot of people have watching her. It's like, well, who are you? What would you like to be? What are your opinions on things? Yes, you're protecting Tom and he wanted you to do this, but what did you want to do? And you can click your heels together and start doing whatever you want to do any minute, whenever you decide. So she has to realize that.
Yeah, but the thing that concerns me about even her attempts at growth, aside from, in addition to the fact that this environment is the exact opposite of what she needs, is that she has clearly defined her independence as a direct correlation to the affair. That her finding herself and not needing
True,
to make anybody
dangerous.
Happy
yeah.
and, you know, being her own person, it's directly connected to her identity, which has a huge component specific to Tom, not only about independence and about being someone who allegedly isn't desperate to be liked, but about finding love. Like, she thinks the definition of love is, and I don't even mean to be like graphic, is just like fucking Tom, because I don't know what else is there. And even the way that she talked about maybe in the tail end in the last 5 minutes, you know, I don't want to betray him by telling the truth. The fact that he taught her or showed her or they understood within each other's dynamic that that betrayal would be stopping the lie train from taking place. Like, she's talking about how upset she is to deceive, but apparently she doesn't believe that she deserves to tell the truth because that would upset Tom. It's like so fucked. It's, I don't know how you get out of that dynamic, let alone the show.
The most emotion she showed early on in the reunion was when she was upset at Tom with the way he was talking about his relationship with Ariana during the reunion. And she was like, it seems that maybe Ariana thought you were still in a relationship because you were leading her to believe you were still in a relationship. And it seemed like that's when she was realizing that Tom was lying to her on the side about what their relationship was like. And she hadn't realized that before. I'm wondering if that's why she sat down with production, because she was like, what Tom was telling me she got to see at the reunion was not true. And she felt betrayed by Tom because he was still with Ariana, intimate with Ariana, and going along as if he was still going to maintain his life with Ariana. And that's when we see her start to shift in the trailer, being like, what? And then after that, Tom's like, get this camera out of my face. I need to talk to her. I wonder if that's the moment where he was losing control of her and what she would say, and not able to rein her back in to get on script when they went back out to the reunion.
Can I say something super dark just to throw this in here?
Always.
I mean, hello, welcome to Andy's Girls. What if one of the reasons that she recorded that confessional with production wasn't even necessarily to maybe take a step away from Tom and hold him accountable, but to get more information? Maybe that was the only way to talk to production and be like, so Tom's saying stuff, but he told me stuff, but I love him, but can someone explain to me what just took place at the reunion? And the response is, yes, we can unpack it, but it has to be on camera. And so that was the currency exchange, was like more information, maybe coupled with, it doesn't take away from her maybe wanting to tell the truth and wanting to release. Obviously, as we saw, it was like an explosion at the end, but maybe there was also some other stuff going on.
And maybe production's the only people she had left to talk to, because Variety put out today, I think it was scene of the scene or whatever, Variety did a thing. And I don't remember which member of production it was saying she reached out and wanted to talk to production. So I think you hit the nail on the head that production might have been the only place she had to talk to and maybe unburden herself a little. And they're like, it'll be on camera. And she was like, I just need to talk to somebody. That is, you make a great point in that, Sarah.
I mean, listen, you know, I love to make a scene, and I haven't actually even watched that yet, even though Kate Arthur was recently on AG. So that is a great reminder. There's so much fucking content out right now in response. Like, I'm working my way through the Glamour profile. There's a lot going on. But that's also the thing with Raquel. Like, I honestly felt so much rage about this at the beginning. And it's like, as I think it was Ariana said to Andy at one point, like, all men are trash. And he's like, yeah, no, I agree. We are. And also my interactions with have also proven men are terrible to date. And it's like, not to take away from Tom, because also through part three, it's like he is the absolute supervillain of supervillains to me. Just apologies. But like with Raquel, I'm like, oh, my God, it's just so complicated. So I don't want to suggest, Kiki, as you said, in like having conversations about through the lens of empathy and just honestly understanding like what is going on. It's not to excuse her behavior. And it's to me like not to necessarily give her an out. It's just to say that from a point of curiosity, because she doesn't know who she is, neither do we, there is an opening there for a lot of conversation. And also like, I don't know. I think that there was an absolute element of control.
And other women need to see this, because there are a bunch of women right now who are having relationships, maybe with their best friend's man right now, that need to watch this play out and see the signs of like, is this man behaving like Sandoval? If so, you're going to end up like Raquel. So watch this cautionary tale as it plays out. You know, like I would have loved in the reunion, you know, again, Raquel is seeing things, and that's why 6 days later she goes to production. But if in that moment she had had just, I don't know, the awareness when Tom said, yeah, she was wearing a fucking t-shirt, to be like, fuck you, Tom. Don't you ever fucking talk to a woman like that. Not that Ariana would have cared. She would have been like, I don't want you to have my back. But I would have loved to have seen that for her, because I think that would have just given the audience something of like, you're starting to, like, I don't know, take the red pill, whatever the pill is, like you're waking up, right?
I don't think she can process that he would do that to her, even though we saw glimpses of it when they were on the couch together and she was giggling like, oh, we can't kiss on camera. But then she's like, I'm just having a hard time with the fact that like, you would do this to Ariana, who you love so much, but you wouldn't do it to me. And then we see Tom kind of pull her back in. So we know that she thought about it. And that's what makes, for me, it hard to look past it, because she says it. She says she's aware. She's talking about the fact that she knows that he could turn around and do this to her. And she still just goes right down the rabbit hole. And maybe it took to the reunion for her to pull it off.
But then it's like, okay, even though I'm sitting here, I'm not defending Raquel. But
no,
it's like,
I love the devil's advocate. This is the same devil's advocate.
Women supporting women, meaning the four of us, just the four of us. Okay. Everybody else can go fuck themselves. Just the core four, Shan style.
Yes. And
at the end of the reunion, when her and Tom go back to the dressing room and, you know, he's like, you know, they're kind of like, oh, that was tough and I couldn't get through it. But then they start giggling. And then she says something like, you know, the part that really got me was when James said that Allie was an upgrade. And then like, she goes, well, I guess she is now. and they both start laughing.
Yep.
They both start laughing because he's actually laughing at her. She's realizing she's trash. Like, and so then in that moment, I'm like, who the fuck are you two? You are. And so then I'm like, I don't know. I keep going back and forth.
So do I. I don't know, because there's parts of me that feel bad for her and feel empathy for her and was like, how manipulated was she by Tom? But then there's part of me that's like, this betrayal of Ariana you shouldn't be able to be manipulated by anybody to betray a friend the way that you betrayed your friend who was so close. And then to know that cameras are rolling, like there's a whole nother level. This is not just playing out in somebody's high school, because this is all very high school shit. But to know cameras are also rolling, I don't know. I think both she and Tom enjoyed the thrill of it.
100%. That's Halloween in a nutshell.
Absolutely. And I think she knew what she was doing was wrong, even if she didn't know how bad it was going to blow back onto her, because she thought they were smarter than the whole world and nobody was ever going to find out. That's why she felt comfortable. What, you would never be talking to Ariana about the intimate details of her relationship, their sex life, all of that, if you thought your secret was ever going to come out, because that looks horrifying. So they were just cocky, I think.
I think she thought Tom was going to leave Ariana and there would be a pause and then the two of them would start dating because she was there to pick up the pieces, and that her story arc would be the Tom and Ariana story arc 9 years ago. I think she saw it playing out that way in her head. Like, okay, this is going to end and they're just not happy. And then I get to pick up and now I'm Ariana of the show.
That's right. Absolutely. Single white female. Like, just cut her little face out of the photo.
I'm going to move into the house. And I'm sure Tom was telling her, Ariana told me if we ever broke up, she's leaving California. She's not going to be on the show. She's not going to do any of this. Like, if we ever break up, she's out, you're in, you're going to be the number one chick in this group. And you're going to be on my arm. And it's all like, I'm a restaurant owner and I own TomTom. And I'm sure he was gassing her up with all of that shit.
Yeah, and there's also precedent there. We've seen this happen so many times, which is what a lot of people are referencing and saying this is not a big deal. The difference, however, is Ariana. It's a different dynamic. It's a 9-year established relationship with people who considered and called themselves life partners. And Tom's partner was someone who truly supported him and had implicit, explicit trust. Like, she had off-camera conversation with Sheena. You know, I think that there's something going on here. And Ariana was like, thank you so much. Thank you for doing this off camera. I appreciate it. But I trust my boy. I trust one of my best friends and I trust my boyfriend. And that's the missing piece that Raquel and Tom can't understand. Why are they being treated so poorly? And it's because the person that you shit on happens to be among the best. Like, it's... there is that factor there.
They don't understand why it's different than when Tom left Kristen and the two of them were cheating on each other. Kristen and Ariana aren't friends. She's like, why is it different than when like Lala and James hooked up? There, if you can't see the differences there, we have bigger problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, to me, such a time suck. I'm like, it's part three. It's part three. We got to get going here. And they wasted so much time talking about perceived transgressions of Lala and James from 5+ years ago. I was like, please, it's part three.
You were screaming objection relevance. Objection relevance.
Asked and answered. Like, we've got Rachel sitting right over there for a limited amount of time. Sheena's in a trailer. What are we doing here, Andy? So that was a huge time suck for me. And then also plugging the Vegas restaurant.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And the lighting. Nick Alain, leave me alone. My God. Leave me alone.
Like, Lisa to me was just like, when she was like so unaware of like the Halloween costumes of Sandoval dressing up like Raquel and just being so shocked. It was like, okay, Lisa, I love you, but like, get out of here, because like, we're all way ahead.
Are you not up to speed? No one gave her note cards.
Like, she gets paid probably an exorbitant amount of money and she doesn't know about Halloween. Does she not have social media? Does no one speak to her? Like, how did Jiggy probably knows? Like, God rest him. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone knows. Everyone knows about the Halloween costume.
And that's why I think like Lisa to me was representative of like Bravo as a whole and why they thought that last 5 minutes was going to be a bombshell. And I think they just didn't realize, they knew the level of Bravo-dom fandom and how deep we go, but not as much. And I think finally someone whispered, like an assistant whispered in their ear, and they were like, you guys, this is like a whole thing on Reddit. They know it. Like, we got to pull it back a little bit or they're going to be really mad at the reveal. And it was like, again, I think the reveal for people who aren't in the details, it was like, okay, like, and also again, the reveal to me was bigger, like you said, Sarah. It was more about confirming what we knew about Tom, that like all of those lies he had told, that he was still trying to get away with, he's it's coming out. And it also, it's like, and that's why I also believe the jacuzzi conversation happened, because he is adamant that the jacuzzi conversation where he hit on her and told her that there was an open relationship at Coachella didn't happen. And Raquel was like, I don't know what you're talking about, because I think she was still playing along with his, like, we can never say that that happened. But it just confirmed, like, you know, what we needed to know.
And I'm sorry, I know that there were a bunch of people on social after who were like, we always knew this information. Watching Raquel essentially choke out the reveal that they were fucking, I assume, in Ariana's bed, something, I don't know what, an instinct tells me they probably didn't use the guest room to fuck while she was at her grandmother's funeral. I mean, they better be careful that Charlotte isn't the only one haunting them, because that was honestly wild to me, not just in like the line delivery of it, which was a lot, but also the fact that that's on tape. I mean, Kiki, exactly right. What you're saying, it's especially for Tom, who likes to insert in as much manipulation as he possibly can and, you know, provide an arena of nuance and gray. It's very, very hard to do that, although he probably will attempt to against Raquel. She's confused. She doesn't know what she's saying. It wasn't that bad.
And you know that it was in their bed, because this is what Tom does, right? Kristen moves out of the apartment. Ariana moves into the apartment. And then Ariana's like, we're getting new furniture. And he's like, what's the big deal? And she's like, you're disgusting. And so, of course, he's going to be disgusting. And then I love seeing her film the Duracell commercial in their home. Like, I'm living for it. Like, get the man out of the house. Get your money back for the house. And it's time to just, Ariana's going to be fine. Tom, I don't think, is going to recover from this, because there's no one to guide his ship.
Okay, speaking of that, I have a question for you, because there was a little bit of a, not kerfuffle, but passionate discourse taking place on some of my social, and I'm sure it's happening on your channels as well, when it comes to Ariana making bank, like making the commercials. I've heard from people who've said things along the lines of, like, I'm concerned that she's doing too much. I'm concerned that it's like, people are going to lose empathy and sympathy. I'm concerned that she is choosing to monetize too hard. And other people who are saying, this was nothing. Not only has she been able to make money, but she doesn't deserve to be the victim. It wasn't really that bad. And a lot of it seems to be connected with her making money, monetizing, with keeping that in line with the fact that she couldn't still be upset, because she's doing so well. It's like a nothing burger. She shouldn't pretend to be a quote-unquote victim, even though I'm sure she would have some thoughts on even that word being used. But, like, you know, she can't be a woman who was humiliated, even though, as we saw, she had some thoughts on that word being used. It wasn't really that bad. She should be grateful. Like, what's your reaction to that as creators, as women, as fans?
I'll start. First of all, misogyny runs deep. So I think that, you know, anyone coming for Ariana, striking while the iron is hot and while she is a well-known name, and it's not just a Bravo pocket, right? Because, like, we're used to operating in our own little Bravo sphere. We don't assume that anybody outside of it knows what's going on. This is a unique situation. This is, you know, reached people that don't normally understand any of the shows or know what's happening, right? So why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you, as a woman who has connected herself with a man who is financially, you know, sucking you into a black hole now, try to crawl yourself out of that? And part of that is having your own income. She's got to cut ties with the house. She's got to get herself out of whatever loan she signed to help him with the restaurant. So to me, it's beyond, like, insensitive for someone to say she shouldn't be making money after what has happened to her. I think she should absolutely be making as much money as humanly possible, because everything ebbs and flows in life, right? Like, something will take the place of this and then it will be over. And you don't want her to be in a place where this man has not only done that to her, but then also caused her financial strain that she can't get out of.
I think that's exactly the answer. Like, what? Yeah. How do you respond to that? Because that's exactly what needs to happen. And look, we know that people love to watch people fail. So, like, it's going to come to a tipping point where there's just people who are going to be sick of it and, like, be like, I'm tired of her making this money, but who cares? It's not, She needs to do exactly that for those reasons. And when this is all over and she can't make any more money, then she'll move on to something else.
Yeah, I think she's absolutely catching the lightning in a bottle, which you have to do. This is a moment where the entire world's spotlight is on you. And I think people wanted to see her be, you know, a broken woman. And she's like, no, I'm a fucking phoenix. And she said, I was broken with my friends and they came and gathered around me for a week. And then it was like, girl, you need to dry your tears, stand up and make some money so you can be independent from this man. And if you at season 11 don't want to do it anymore, you can walk. You need to set yourself up because her workplace is inextricably linked with her ex and her bestie who have done this really fucked up thing to her. She needs to be able to create that distance so she can walk if she needs to. And without this, I don't know if she would have been able to set that up. And it sets up her to, if she wants to just do something about her and move off of reality TV and move out of the public spotlight later to heal, she can. But for now, people are like, she's doing too much. I don't know. It's okay, I think, to push the processing off till later and run headlong into work. Do men ever get chastised for going back to work after a divorce or no other upset?
He's throwing himself into work.
It's so noble.
Yeah.
Right? And she is, and she should. Good for her. Get all the bag. Good for Lala too. I mean, get it. Send it to Daryl. Get it. I feel bad. I feel the most bad for Sheena. This was like her wedding season. I thought this reunion would be like, you know, Sheena, we've seen this growth from you. We've seen this 360 and you've had a kid and we've watched you go from, you know, bridging this show from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills to getting married and being in a relationship and having a child and getting all the things you want. Like the whole season shifted out from under her. And I kind of felt bad for her a little bit.
Yeah. And Katie, I mean, I think Katie did get redeemed, but I think it was, she would have been sitting next to Andy if none of this had happened, because it was really, we were going to watch this play out. We were going to see, you know, Raquel in some moments, we were going to feel sorry for her when they were being mean girls and then we were going to hate her. And it was going to be that season. But I think the Schwartz side would have come out regardless. And that would have been a very interesting storyline. And so we lost, you know, some of that, but that's why I think season 11 is so important, because we don't have to revisit those things, but now we have to like stand in those moments and see those people. And honestly, Lala, I don't know how she can, because it seems like there's like somewhat of a gag order happening, but we're going to have to pull in some of this Randall scandal into this, because that we also need to get to the bottom of it. And we've been getting to the bottom of it in other ways, but like, that's really, if she can't talk about it, I don't know really what she's going to talk about on season 11.
Probably custody.
100% custody. And, you know, I think, I don't know what the legal shenanigans were that were happening behind the scenes as far as like cutting down any storyline with about Rand, because Lala said that she filmed a lot about it. It just wasn't included. So who knows what the network decision making is going to be, just as far, I mean, Emily would, what am I fucking talking about? Emily would have some thoughts on liability. But the other aspect of this is the sisterhood of it all. And what was so interesting to me was the number of times that Sandoval was like, thanks everybody for supporting my gal and I'm so appreciative, and then directly contradicting that thanks by questioning the level of support and the reason. Like, Lala, you just jumped on the bandwagon. You don't actually care for this person. You guys aren't close. You're just doing this to be a part of the larger zeitgeistiness of it all. And what's fascinating to me is to genuinely see some of these women repairing fractures, like Sheena and Katie, not doing a total course correction, but saying, listen, we have some shit with each other. Maybe it'll be worked out, maybe it won't, but we are here for a larger purpose, to support our friend. And that to me is very interesting, because I don't know that we've seen that kind of unified dynamic that still obviously has cracks. It's reality and it's different personalities, but the sisterhood of the Scandoval is something that I really appreciate, especially when they laugh at Sandoval as he tries to knock it down.
Absolutely. I think on the legal side, I'm curious, you know, when you're starting to look at which production companies Randall Emmett has worked with, how they are corporate connected to NBC Universal. And I think some of this is much higher up the chain than Randall Emmett. I think a lot of this is up to the corporate level of, okay, well, his movies are produced here. And so I think there's more to it than just maybe a cease and desist to the network. Because the network normally doesn't abide by those kinds of things if it's going to make good TV. So it really just depends how deeply that's connected. And there, some of this is still allegations that haven't been proven in court. And we know that Bravo doesn't necessarily love being dragged into court over these types of things. So cutting things that are being said that are still allegations, I'm not surprised that they are at this point. And I would love to hear Lala talk about it on her podcast, because then it'll find its way onto the show one way or the other.
This is true.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, and this is just from someone I heard that I trust, is that, like, I also believe that Randall allegedly still has important friends in high places who are able to talk to people and get them to not do things. And I think those relationships are still very, But then also back to your sisterhood comment, Sarah.
Yeah.
What I do love is how VPR has really come 180, because it really started off as this brotherhood of, like, dude bros protecting each other. And that's why I want to see, like, all the girlies just thriving. And, like, yeah, like, it would be fun to see Sheena and Katie have their little banter back and forth, but still, like, come together as girls do and be like, fuck the patriarchy.
Just take over the cast. We don't need to see many scenes with the guys. They can step to the side and we can watch the women thrive for a season. I'm here for it. But can I ask you all a question?
Please.
How good is BravoCon going to be this year?
Oh my God. I love Vegas so much. You don't understand.
I think good. I think good. You know, I was on the fence for a while and then I got the bug. I knew it was going to happen. I got the bug. So,
I mean, speaking of BravoCon, maybe this is a little plea to the powers that be and to any listeners. When they start putting out feelers about what you guys want to see and what kind of panels, let's get some content creators, including people who aren't necessarily celebrities, quote unquote, although all of us are celebrities in our own right and special way, because I think that is the piece that has been missing. And that is the reason that I'm so appreciative to all of you, not only for taking the time today, but also for creating such incredible, specific conversations on your own social, on TV, and everywhere else, because those conversations have value. And there is a framework here that I think is necessary, especially in the Bravo community, that Bravo doesn't really appreciate and amplify in that way. So with all of my thanks to all of you for, like, continuing to kick ass, my hope is that some of these kinds of conversations will exist on one of those stages, because I think it's time. I think they're valuable enough and interesting enough and have obviously the audience. So fingers crossed, hopefully some of those panels will include women. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be amazing?
Wouldn't that be nice when discussing women's lives that we really put some focus into gender parity? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'd love to see it.
Maybe let New Media and Creator Media access a media room where they could sit down and put out all the content that everybody was watching about BravoCon with, you know, electrical outlets and a table. The amount of creators I saw that were creating incredible content sitting on the floor plugged into something like hurt my soul. Really did.
That's how it was. And you know what? As long as we're asking for things, I think we should ask for a freaking discount for creators. Cause it, like, that's part of the reason I haven't really talked about it. I'm like, I'm not going to hype it, cause they're sucking every dime from me to go. So why am I going to be like, hey, come, it's going to be so great. It's like, I don't know if it will be great. We'll see how it is. And I'm going to have to pay full price to go. Yeah. So even though my account has the name in it three times, I get 0% discount.
Where's our plane, guys? Where's our content creator? I want to see JetBlue be BravoCon, whatever the fuck, Sparkle. I just think we deserve it.
Well, you know, I learned at the Vanderpump Dogs Gala this year that Vanderpump Dogs just got a jet. So perhaps we can convince Lisa to, like, fly us out on the Vanderpump Dog jet.
Kiki, work it.
I promise. promise I'm a bitch. I'll fit right in with those puppies. Please. Listen, ladies, I have taken up more than enough of your time. This is a true to be continued. I hope, I beg, I'm saying this publicly instead of privately in my own magical way, that we're able to do this again, because let it not take the Scandoval, although thank God for the Scandoval, for these kinds of sisterhood events. So I'm so thankful to all of you. I would love if you could share a little bit of how AGs can stay in touch, can follow you on your social, watch your videos, read your pieces, all that and more. Emily, can we start with you?
Absolutely. I'm at the Emily D. Baker all over the interwebs. I host the Emily Show podcast, and I live stream trials and court coverage over on YouTube, as well as breaking down all of the court documents and everything that you want to see. So that is where to find me. I'm not hard to find. I'm the one with the purple hair and a law degree. Oh gosh. For like 17 years now. I'm the old one. It's easy.
Well, I'm the one with the blonde curly hair, and you can find me at The Talk of Shame, also all over the internet. And more recently in the Hulu, you can find it on Hulu, the ABC Impact series, Anatomy of a Scandoval.
Yes.
And hopefully some new things coming out very soon too.
And you have to search Impact to find the documentary that she
sent. You have to go to Hulu and search Impact. Do not search Scandoval. You will not find it.
Oh my God, that's crazy. I didn't actually know that. That's amazing. That, God bless. God bless classic media when it comes to streamers. BBDB, as I lovingly refer to you, where can AGs get in touch?
Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. I'm going to shift all my dives to YouTube in the near future, she says again. you don't know what I look like yet, but one day you might. We'll see.
Listen, here's to new chapters, new beginnings, a little bit of a turtle time, and a pumptini for the books. Guys, join the Andy Scrolls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more, including a supersized satchel spectacular where I talk about all of the listener thoughts and feels, questions, and concerns when it comes to the Scandoval that I have received from all of you over the course of the last couple days. Patreon.com/AndysGirls. Follow me on Instagram. I just forgot my handle. So I'm doing great today, guys. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Feel free to share this episode with some friends. We got a hashtag Women Supporting Women. Thanks to each of you, Kiki, Emily, BBDB. This was a total blast. I so appreciate it. I respect each of you so much. And literally, this was my dream team. I am so happy that we were able to process this all together. So I have to say thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hooray.
All right, guys. On that note, hope you enjoyed the episode and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health, or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.